Came yesterday, and all of those who didn't come, who for one reason or another couldn't be here, but it was great to have your support, and no doubt I'll appreciate it as years go by. Yesterday I did a bit of teasing. I said that I was going to speak about Noah, and I am. And then I said that I would mention a few things about everything I've ever learnt about Noah. One is don't miss the boat. And if anything, that's the message of the message this morning, is don't miss the boat. The other is we're all in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah started to build the ark. Don't listen to critics. Speed isn't everything. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Remember that the ark was built by amateurs, and the Titanic was built by professionals. Which one would you rather be in? So we begin this by, as Christine read, in Matthew. And it really gives a warning about what the days were like at the time of Noah. And I think very much that the days are like that now. And since Adam came into the world, and he was the first man, there were 10 generations passed before Noah. Before Noah's generation. And that took about 1656 years. And we can ask ourselves, does this story hold water? There've been many. Okay. Some of you are awake. Good. That's a statement that I've heard Anne Robinson say once or twice in her little, does this hold water? And there's been a lot of criticism of the story of Noah, from humanist and secularist and anybody who doesn't believe the Bible, really. But we're going to look at one or two points that they make. But the big idea behind the story of Noah teaches us about the mercy and justice of God and how his grace can save us from his wrath. David was telling me earlier that the secret of a good sermon is to have a really good beginning and a really good ending and have a short middle bit. So I'm hoping to achieve that this morning, but I'm not sure about a good beginning, that you can judge that. Noah was first mentioned when he was a mere scrap of a lad of 500. He was the grandson of Methuselah, the longest living man. Even though God had created the world, it was originally very good. And through Adam's sin, death and curse came into the world. So why did God flood the world? Because death is the penalty for sin. And humankind had got themselves into such a state that God had had enough of us. God did not spare, in 2 Peter 2 verse 5, God did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Many focus on God's punishment of the wicked but miss the importance of his grace. God didn't want to destroy them. He wanted them to repent. And he actually gave them 120 years, which is longer than what most of us live now at the time. But still they wouldn't listen and repent. Noah lived in a very desperately corrupt age. And as I said before, it reminds us me very much of what it's like now. Right in the middle of that darkness, Noah shone with the radiance of righteousness. Can you imagine that, all that corruption? Can you imagine the darkness? And they didn't believe God. He just heard a voice telling him to do this. And they thought he was mad. And ordinarily, you'd think he was mad, wouldn't you? Suddenly hearing a voice saying, go and build a boat. Not only that, it had specific dimensions. It was huge. And we often see pictures of Noah's Ark in books, and it's just a little ship with a giraffe's head sticking out. But it was nothing like that at all. It was enormous. He became a laughingstock, but it didn't hinder his work. He maintained his work and he carried on. It took so long that they must have thought he'd gone mad. His beard grew. And when you look at Noah, his service stands unsurpassed, I think, throughout the whole Bible. 120 years of doing what God wanted him to do. And, well, he did that for longer. He lived 500 before that, and he listened to God and lived his life righteously. And he was the only one on earth at the time who lived the way God wanted him to. It's quite an incredible story, really, isn't it? And we think of ourselves, how do we live? I'm just going to read Hebrews 11, verse 7. I'm just going to jump about a bit in the Bible, giving you a few verses. And Hebrews is my wife's favourite book, partly because that's what it says, Hebrews. So, Hebrews 11, verse 7. I'm sure some of you have heard that before. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And this chapter is known as the faith chapter of the book of Hebrews. The ark itself was about 459 by 75 by 44 feet in size, the equivalent of volume of 1.54 million feet. Which is huge, hard to imagine. Bigger than quite a few football grounds put together. At the time of Noah, people said, well, you couldn't get enough animals into the ark. But at the time of Noah, they forget that there were less animals than what there are today. And that's why some made the mistake of counting today's animals and getting their sums completely wrong. For example, it is thought at the time that there were only two kinds of dog. It isn't a joke. But today there are lots of different kinds of dogs, aren't there? Because we've interbred them to suit us, really. Make them smaller, cuter, eyes wider, big floppy ears and all that. Carry on. Verse 22 says, thus Noah did all according to what God had commanded him. Then Noah said Then God said to Noah, come into the ark, and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 of each clean animal, a male and a female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Did you notice the 7 pairs? 3 pairs were for breeding, and 1 was for animal sacrifice. And of course, they had to eat on the boat. This isn't my notes, by the way. Just going to read Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. And rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And later on, the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. So finally, the flood came after 120 years of building the ark, which was a mammoth undertaking. And finally, the day came when God decided this was it. And only he knows the day, like he only knows the day when Jesus is coming again for the on his second coming. God knew that day, and Noah didn't even know. He was just asked to build the ark. To remember in the Bible, it's not just to recall them, but it is to show kindness to them. It is to express concern for them and to act with loving kindness to them. Genesis 8, verse 20 said, then Noah built an ark to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. It's strange, isn't it, that I noticed as I was reading the scriptures about it that only 8 people were saved, and yet all these animals, maybe 20,000, some say 40,000, I'm not quite sure, but all those animals saved and only 8 people, it makes you think, well, what are humans like? And seeing the way some humans are like, you can see why, can't you? I don't mean any of you, by the way. But, you know, you hear so many bad stories and sad stories and of what people do to each other. But animals just live to look after, and they look after themselves, look after the families, and we neglect ours. And I thought it was a sad indictment that only 8 humans, and yet 20 to 40,000 animals maybe, were saved. I find that interesting. What's also interesting is that Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord and walked with God. He did everything that God commanded him to do. Noah stands as a tireless commitment to his calling. God knew of the heart of Noah and gave him an enormous task to fulfill in the midst of a crooked generation. The ark itself, in a sense, is a symbol of vocational service for all generations of believers. What do I mean by that? Well, it's a symbol of the hard work that you put into, the hard work of commitment in ministry. I'm only right at the beginning. Some of you are near the end. Some of you are in the middle. Who knows? But it's a symbol of the hard work that Noah put in, of his vocation, of his ministry. And he did it through all kinds of accusations and sniping and, are you mad? Are you, well, you know, most of us would have given up, you'd have thought. But that's the kind of commitment that Noah had. And that's the kind of commitment that we need. Many others have left their mark on history. Against all odds, some have become martyrs. Some have lived. I wonder if God is calling you to fulfill a specific mission. Have you a heart for God? Do you have a desire to serve? It took Noah 120 years to fulfill that particular mission. You know, Jesus is the ark. There was only one door in, and there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. You know, the ark rested on the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. The day was the 17th day of the 7th month, exactly 3 days after the Passover lamb was killed under the Jewish calendar. The 7th month later became the 1st month, and Jesus died on the 14th of the month and rose on the 17th. I think that's more than a coincidence. So this morning, are you going to miss the boat, or are you on board? If you aren't in the boat, you're in terrible danger, like all of mankind who were outside of the boat when Noah built his. There is no other hope for fallen man other than Jesus. So you need to come to him, and he will rescue you. My plea for you this morning is not to miss the boat. Amen.